This is Jim Eagster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. We begin our show today on the day after Super Tuesday with an appropriate guest, the most famous political consultant in the world, the man who calls Louisiana home. This is where it all began for James Carville, and he led Bill Clinton to the presidency in the year of 1992. And last night, Joe Biden had the best night in his long political career. He's run for president a few times before, and in 1988 it was a disaster when he was in his 40s. Now at the age of 77, he's reborn and suddenly is the front runner for the Democratic nomination, winning 9 states on Super Tuesday, 9 of 14, and perhaps I think Maine is still in the balance. But James Carville, your thoughts about where we are right now?
Well, I think things moved very fast, starting in South Carolina. You saw all of the late-breaking voters break toward Vice President Biden. He has unbelievable strength with the Democratic Party's most historical and important demographic, and that's African-Americans. He demonstrated really good appeal with newest and very important voters, these suburban educated women. So in terms of, you know, what it takes to put a coalition together, he showed amazing strength with two essential sort of cogs in the Democratic coalition, if you will.
How key was that endorsement the former vice president received last week from James Clyburn?
I thought it the most significant endorsement a presidential candidate's gotten that I can remember. I really mean that. I mean, it was, it took a campaign that was like, really was going nowhere. And, you know, they put it on the afterburner, and then that just led to him doing really well in South Carolina. And plus, Congressman Clyburn's presentation was really good. And I think it the effect of it spilled out far beyond South Carolina.
Where does Bernie go from here? He didn't have a disastrous night, but on the whole, it was not the night he had hoped for.
Well, you don't understand it. First of all, the normal rules of politics, the physics of politics, do not apply to Bernie Sanders because he'll just keep running. These people will still give him money, and most of the people that work for him can only make a living working on campaigns, so they're not incentivized at all to leave. I think at some point he's going to get some pushback from Democrats who say, why are you doing this? All you're doing is helping Trump. You know, he did it and kept attacking Hillary last time, and people like, yeah, well, they thought, well, she'll win, so they're still getting too gassed up about it. And then now it's almost like, let's get gassed up about it because Trump might win. And so he's facing a different atmosphere right now.
And Warren,
I
hear what you're saying, James, but Warren and Bloomberg, they did have very poor nights. Did they stay in?
Bloomberg will not stay in. Warren will probably not. She doesn't much like Bernie, and it may be that she would slightly help Biden by staying in. I don't know that. But I don't think she's going to be able to. I just don't think she's going to, every question she's going to get is, why are you doing this?
Well,
you don't have a path.
When they go to Milwaukee for the convention, a place that you believe is very poor for the Democrats to gather.
Yeah, I do.
You mentioned the California delegation will be staying where?
At the O'Hare Hilton.
In Chicago.
They're not going to like it in Chicago. That's it, which is like 95 miles away. It's like having a convention in New Orleans and putting somebody up in St. Francisville.
That you're exactly right.
They're going to be in their car. They're not going to be happy.
No.
You know, plus you got all that in there's no such thing as rush hour in Chicago. It's always rush hour. So they're going to be stuck in traffic to get there. And they have some of the delegation will be staying in Madison,
which is not right next door either. But
Not optimal.
But could it be a repeat of Chicago 1968, or will things settle down?
I don't know. Maybe not, but I'm not totally confident. And, you know, as I said last night in the class, even that,
the weather is generally pretty good that time of year in Milwaukee, and that'll just bring more of them out.
Yeah.
Maybe New Orleans. If you want to get out and protest in this humidity, go ahead.
Yeah, they would be better served if they wanted to avoid protesters to have it in New Orleans or Las Vegas.
Right. But they're going to be protesters.
Now, but last night, Biden had some protesters storm the stage. His wife had to step in. It's hard to believe that people get that close to a presidential candidate.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard in Secret Service. They tried. You know, these candidates, they like to be close to people, and it's a give and go. And I know those agents have got to be pulling their hair out.
Well, the number to call is 877-217-5757. We have a little bit of time with James Carville, and talk at talklouisiana.org. First listener online wants to know how the market is rebounding today, and it was down 800 points. The Dow Jones was yesterday up 537 in the early going today. The market is certainly responding to coronavirus, but also was responding, I think, to the potential presidency of one Bernie Sanders. Wall Street didn't particularly like that idea. Joe Biden is considered a much safer candidate for Wall Street. Is that a good or bad thing for him?
It's a thing. I mean, anybody would be safer than Bernie Sanders. He would probably try to get rid of it. He's not very big into capitalism.
I gather you don't like Bernie very much.
I don't dislike him. I barely know him. He's not. I've had no one say, if you really knew Bernie, you'd like him. It's not that kind of deal, all right? I mean, he's a man that is ideologically driven, and he's been all of his life. Well, I'm not an overly ideological person, and I don't admire someone that doesn't change their mind. I mean, like, you're supposed to evolve in life, and, you know, the truth of the matter is he was a socialist when he was 20, and he's one today. And I don't agree with his view of politics. He views politics as all about the revolution or making an argument. I think political parties exist to win elections. And I'm just not, I'm sorry, I'm not into the revolution.
Well, it was Biden.
personally detesting him. Like I said, I don't know him well enough. He's not a guy that's got a lot of friends anyway. I don't think Bernie Sanders really has two bits about what anybody thinks of him.
Well, he's 78.
He's one of these guys that because he's on a mission to save humanity, he doesn't have time to fool with humans.
How's his health?
If I know. Last night, there's one number that everybody says that Jeff knows after heart attack, and that's the left ventricular ejection fraction. Maybe if there's a cardiologist listening, they can email in. But from what I read and been told, that he's 78 years old, and that's the number that you want. And if it's lower than, I don't know, 30, it's not good. But the actuarial tables are not kind to a 78-year-old that just had a heart attack.
No, his percentage of living 10 years is probably less than 50%, but he's 40%.
Yeah, but I never want anybody to get sick. I didn't put down, take any.
No.
That's one thing I'm not for. No.
Not at all. 877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines in a moment for James Carville. Bernie Sanders ran for governor of Vermont back in 1986. He got 14% of the votes. He's not even a Democrat. How can the Democrats allow a guy who's not even registered with their party to be their potential nominee?
Well, we're kind of big tent people, and, you know, I don't know what the party rules, but he caucuses with the Democrats. He ran last time. He actually switched last time, but he didn't this time. And he's not a Democrat. He doesn't care. You got to understand, he would rather, if he can't win, it's better for his movement if Trump wins. He said the German communists used to march in the streets of Berlin in the 30s and said, the worse the better, after Hitler, us. Before he left, he killed them all.
Yep, he did indeed. Now, Michael Bloomberg has just left the race. It's over for him. And he has endorsed Joe Biden, according to the Associated Press. So there you go. It appears the party apparatus is behind the former vice president, a guy who, as you said, was not a good candidate for president in his 40s, but now is reborn in his late 70s. It appears that Joe Biden may be headed for the Democratic nomination and will be the favorite. He will be the favorite against Donald Trump.
And I mean, if the party gets out, you know, it depends on how much we fraction in Milwaukee, you know. And
well, and also, we'll talk more after we come back from the break. A listener notes how disastrous it would be if Bernie got a hankering to be a third-party candidate, which is not out of the question.
It's hard to do.
We'll talk about it.
Not a question.
We'll be back after this 90-second pause with more Talk Louisiana with James Carville. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with James Carville, the celebrated political consultant from Louisiana. Michael Bloomberg has suspended his presidential campaigning, meaning it's over. Failing to persuade Democratic voters, he was the best choice to defeat President Donald Trump, spending the top half a billion dollars from Bloomberg, who apparently is backing Joe Biden, who now is in the front with 467 delegates. Bernie Sanders has 392. 1991 is what is needed for the nomination. Dan downtown, you're on the air with James Carville. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Mr. Carville, I know you're a big LSU fan, but has your experience teaching at Tulane been a positive one?
Yeah, very positive. I was there for 9 years, and I loved it. It was some really great kids, and we had some great classes there. We did a lot of fun things. I was 3 years at Northern Virginia Community College before I went to Tulane, and I'm in my third year at LSU. Probably just the end of my career, getting a little old.
I was impressed last night. You showed up for class. I was there in a Marine Corps shirt. James served his country with distinction, and I asked you why you were going on national television with that Marine Corps shirt, and you said, it's high time we show that Democrats aren't wimps.
Right. He has a little message in attire there.
Yeah. Well, Biden and Trump, they have mixed it up verbally. They're, of course, men well past their prime, but the debate should be lively between those two if this is what ends up being the case.
Yeah, and hopefully everybody can remember where they are.
Scott in Opelousas. Scott, you're on with James Carville.
How you doing, Mr. Carville? How you doing, Mr. Andrews?
Good. How's everything in St. Andrews there?
Oh, wet but good. Wet but good.
I got Miss Allie Olivier here that helps me, and all the native of St. Andrews Parish, too.
Yeah. Two short questions. When do you think Vice President Biden or former President Obama will come out and speak? And in the past, in the last election with Bernie and Hillary, I just think the party just didn't realize this. A lot of people liked Bernie, but, you know, things went the other way. Thank you very much.
Bye. All right.
Thank you, sir. Nice to see you.
What about the former president, Barack Obama? When will he give full-throated support to his
It won't be long. I think the former president still likes to try to stay out and above the fray, but and maybe it's better for him to kind of sit on the sidelines, and he may have to come in and help negotiate something. I don't know that, but it might not necessarily be too... He might be better held in reserve.
Well, the Bernie faction, as you note, is passionate, and they're not liking what's happening. And all of this developing within a week, if you're a Bernie supporter, you might think the fix was in. How does Biden get past that?
If people like believe in the earth is flat, there's nothing you can do to convince them. All right? I think he's got to plow past it. But no matter what, if you do this, it's rigged. If you do that, it's rigged. And everything the establishment is ganged up on, you know, what the establishment is. But, yeah, they have a deep sense of grievance about most things. And look, the thing, one of the things that works against them is they don't have very good geographic distribution. All right, so say that Bernie splits off and, you know, the Bows go with him. Most of them live in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Chicago and Boston, and not where they have any kind of outside effect, presidential race. And the big thing to remember is what Biden's demonstrated is, you know, unbelievable stress with the most important kind of historic and loyal group of Democrats, all us African-Americans. And he romped and stomped with the newest demographic that is turning Democratic and did really well with college-educated women. And those are two really important parts of the Democratic coalition, and Bernie has no strength with them. He has some strength with Latinos, I think, and he has some strength with urban Democrats, but most urban Democrats are can't help you very much. I mean, he'd have a third party, he could hurt in Texas.
Well, what about this persona that Bernie brings voters out to participate who otherwise would stay on the sidelines?
That is like, that makes as much sense as not vaccinating your children, all right? It's the oldest, dumbest, most disproven theory in politics, and it goes something like this. If you elect a true fill-in-the-blank, in this case, a true progressive, I mean, not the, then or the, sometimes the conservatives say the same thing, then you will activate dormant parts of the electorate heretofore disengaged in the process. And once they hear the certain trumpet of the revolution, they will arise up and they, you know, bring so many new voters in, the election model will change and it will turn unbelievably young and non-white. You arrive to victory. There is every piece of political science mocks this idea, just literally mocks it. And in the last 7-8 days, I bet you there have been 10 stories I've seen. The latest being by Michelle Goldberg, who writes in the New York Times, I got in an argument with about this 5 months ago. And then she said, well, you know, she looked at this new study came out, and even she said, look, it's not going to happen. It's not. It's idiotic, and it's actually, they say it, and it's almost Trumpian in its untruthness. Now, somebody wants to be for Bernie Sanders because you admire him because he's consistent. Or you want to break up big banks. Or you want Medicare for all. You know, that's your business. I can tell you I disagree with you, but I can't tell you that you're just demonstratively wrong. It's just some people would have a different opinion on this. Enhanced voter turnout theory, you're just dead wrong.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with James Carville.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, Bill.
So here we go. So the delegates that are up for grab on Super Tuesday, in other words, the big enchilada that all the campaigns are looking to see what they're going to get, these campaigns bail like days before Super Tuesday. They're not going to wait to see what kind of delegate they would have. Well, it sure did diffuse the vote and send them over to Joe Biden.
All right. Phil sounds a bit
okay,
perplexed.
Thank you for the question, sir. The problem is you have to reach a 15% threshold. So if you get, like right now, Bloomberg is at 14.3 in California. If he doesn't get to 15, he gets no delegates. So no statewide delegates, and it's complicated. It goes to the congressional district. So Amy Klobuchar wouldn't even get to 15 in Minnesota.
All right.
And neither was Buttigieg, wasn't, you know. By the time this thing started breaking, I mean, you saw how many people just broke to Biden at the end yesterday, of the people that, like, voted on Election Day. It started to break. So the question is good, but the answer is it wouldn't have mattered because of the threshold.
Janet in Fort Myers, Florida, listening online, says, James, who do you see on the horizon, she writes, that has the potential to break the cycle of geriatric candidates in the Democratic and Republican parties?
I don't know. This is like we got three possible presidents, and, you know, both of them on the other side of 75.
You will, you know, be younger than the next president, probably.
Yeah, that's something. That's something frightening. In a room, and I'm not the oldest person in it. I get happy. You know, some of these candidates got a little better
toward the end. You know, I think Buttigieg's got a, you know, he'll probably get a cabinet position at some point. You know, maybe Kamala Harris will get more political skill. I don't know. We'll see. But right now, look, too busy worried about the next one to think too far in the future.
Well, we've got some people waiting to talk with James. We won't keep him much longer, but we will keep you through the break if that's okay. And if you'd like to join in, get under the wire, 877-217-5757. A listener, and we will ask James about this, is looking at the Senate race in Alabama, where Doug Jones is seeking re-election, and his opponent on the Republican side will be either Jeff Sessions, who's in a runoff, or Tommy Tuberville, the former Auburn coach who had the audacity to smoke a cigar at Tiger Stadium on the field after beating the Tigers, and Auburn hasn't won at Tiger Stadium since. We'll talk with James Carville about this and more after this timeout for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing your number, 877-217-5757. We're going to spend a few more minutes with James Carville and get to as many of you as we can in our remaining time with the famed political consultant, Richard, on Corporate Boulevard. Richard, you are on Talk Louisiana.
Hi.
James Carville. Hi, Richard.
Good morning. James, do you think what happened to Hillary, where Biden's people either turned against her or stayed home and didn't vote, could happen to Biden?
You mean Sanders people, right?
I mean, Sanders people, yeah, I'm sorry.
Right, right.
Yeah, look, well, Jill Stein, who was a Russian agent, right, that's a fact, got more votes, and she was like the Green Party lefty. She got more votes in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin than Hillary lost by. So when it's something is that close, I mean, anything is going to matter. But I think people are on guard for that right now. I mean, it was a kind of attitude back in 2016. Well, Hillary's going to win anyway, so why get all gassed up about it? Now people are like, Trump may win, and you'll have an entirely different reaction, I think. But, you know, some of them are just, you know, they're real, you know, they're waiting on a revolution. They're real committed to Bernie, and, you know, they'll stay home.
Let's go.
But again, most of them are poorly distributed. A lot of them in cities. If you live in New York, who cares if you vote or not? To be cavalier about it, but it's true.
Mike in St. Martinville. Hi, Mike. You're on Talk Louisiana with James Carville.
James, if you would,
yes,
in light of the chaos accompanying Corona and AIDS before that, and Ebola and all these other diseases that are driven by fear more than reason, talk a little bit about Carville and the danger of locking people up because they have a condition before the science is fully understood.
That's a very intelligent question. I grew up in a place called Carville, postdoctor, and for people like Jim Hanks's age, you would remember that was the Center for the Treatment of Hansen's Disease, which most people refer to as leprosy. And we would colonize people. Well, the truth of the matter is there was no need to do that. And it's not even clear if leprosy is a very difficult disease to communicate. Thank God that closed down. We hadn't taken a new patient and everything closed down like 1994. So in what we thought before that was they had to be colonized. Now, it's a little bit different because this flu virus is something I know a little bit about because John Barry wrote the great influenza, who's a great New Orleanian, who knows more about the flu than any non-medical person. He knows more about it than a historian. He did the book on the Spanish flu of 1918. And the number one Ebola person in the world is on the Tulane Medical School. He's a biochemist researcher there by the name of Robert Gary, and I had come talk to my class at Tulane during Ebola crisis. Ebola is a very difficult disease. You have to have body fluid transmission for it to be communicable. This virus, the thing about it is it's airborne. And Jim will tell you, we did the law of geometric progression in the class last night. So this is the experiment we did. Start the month of March with a penny. So Sunday was the first day of March, so you put a penny in the bank. On Monday was the second, you put 2 cents. Tuesday, you have 4. Today, you had 8 cents on day 4. And see where you are at the end of 31 days. And that's the danger. You know, one person affects, they think this, but they don't know, 2.2 people. You don't know how many transmissions that you've had because most people don't go to the doctor when they get sick. And, you know, I don't know when these things go away, but this is a little bit of a different thing, because Hansen's is almost impossible to as a communal relief. I think it's possible. I'm sure some medical doctor would correct me to some extent, but I think at least it's difficult to communicate. Ebola takes fluid-to-fluid transmission. You don't get it in the air. The coronavirus is airborne, and that's a scary thing.
Coronavirus could be a huge issue as we move forward, though. It could be the issue in the campaign.
You don't know. It could. I mean, it, one of the things is, and you want China, you actually want the Chinese can do things that we can't. The WHO thinks their response is effective. They just quarantine people. I mean, maybe we have to do that at some point, but that's not going to sit well. I mean, Japan's closed schools for a month to try to tamp down the progression rate, the infection rate, so they'll be able to hold the Olympics there this summer. But we don't know. I'm not saying it's going to be. I'm just saying we don't know, and also how effective we're going to be in containing. And obviously, they had a significant outbreak in Northwest Washington State, right around Seattle. But in terms of travel, I don't know how it's going to affect the long range of the airline industry. It's already causing all prices to soften. I mean, it's going to have some impact, and I just don't know. I'm not knowledgeable enough to tell you where it's going to go and how bad it's going to get. But I do know there's some potential.
We're visiting with James Carville. If you'd like to get in under the wire, a few more minutes, 877-217-5757. We've noted that in 1992, he helped Bill Clinton win the presidency, who at that time was a 46-year-old governor of Arkansas. He carried Louisiana twice, last Democrat to win a presidential race in our state. But, James, it is curious that Clinton is younger right now than any of the people running for president who are viable contenders. He's younger than Trump. He's younger than Biden. He's younger than Sanders.
Correct. You ask me, is this optimal? No. But as Donald Rumsfeld famously said, you go to war with the army you got. I think there's going to be a strong move for generational change in the next election. But what's happened is such a unique dynamic here that Democrats don't care about anything but beating Trump. They don't care if you're male, female, white, black, gay. They don't care. I mean, that is the one thing. That there was some thought that maybe it hurt Warren with women voters who were scared that other voters wouldn't vote for a woman, so they won. And people would tell me, and some of the Warren people said they would hear that more from women than men. But that's just how afraid people are.
Tracy at the Capitol asked how much Joe Biden will be hurt by his son Hunter's business dealings.
You know, I think some, but I think that's probably baked into the cake. I mean, they're going to try to, you know, bring it out, and Ron Johnson's going to subpoena him and have a congressional hearing. There's just no evidence that Trump did anything, and, you know, with Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, took a $1.1 billion from the Qataris, one of those people from the 666 Fifth Avenue. I mean, if I was him, I'd be a little bit careful about people's children, but
another listener asks about the chief of staff, Mr. Mulvaney, referring to coronavirus as a hoax, something that's being said a lot by conservative media types. A hoax is pretty strong for something so serious.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, people say the earth is flat. People say that the climate is not getting hot outside. You know, people... I guess that people say the Louisiana coastline is not disappearing. That's a general word that encompasses all these strikes, and the word is idiot. I mean, you have to be an idiot to think this is some kind of a hoax. You think shutting schools down for a month in a country like Japan is a hoax?
No.
I don't think people really believe that. And I think people are obviously concerned about it, but I'm not saying it's a panic, it's the end of days, anything like that. But it is something that merits close observation.
Calvin in St. George, please be brief, Calvin. You're on with James Carville.
Okay. With respect to Sanders, the rub against him is that he's a socialist, and my understanding of socialism is that the government will tax us quite heavily, use the money to fund social programs, poverty, universal health care. Is that diametrically opposed to what Americans believe?
Yeah, I certainly don't believe it, and I'm not a socialist. So I can't tell you. I describe myself as a liberal Democrat. I'm certainly not remotely a socialist. But by the way, the Democratic Socialist of America's Constitution calls for popular control of production and resources. So they don't. I mean, they don't just believe. I mean, somebody said Sanders' proposal is going to add up to $60 trillion. Well, we're running trillion-dollar deficits. I have no idea how anybody. The one thing you can be a fiscal conservative, or you can be a Republican, but you can't be both. It's impossible.
Okay.
When you're running trillion-dollar deficits in a functioning economy, is absurd.
We got about 45 seconds, James, and I wanted to get your take on Alabama, Tuberville, and Sessions in a runoff to go against Doug Jones.
You know, I saw Doug was in New York. I guess it was last week, or the end of last week, and I ran into him, and I know that was his campaign manager. And you know, they fight hard. They think they got a shot. But they can't get Rod Moore again. I wish he'd run against him one more time. but it's kind of that's a tough hole for Democrats. But if you look at all the places that are competitive, I actually think the Democrats might start to be a slight favorite to get the Senate back. I mean, you got Maine, North Carolina, two in Georgia, Texas, Arizona, Colorado. People starting to think that Steve Bullock may run in Montana, which would put that in play. Iowa be in play. Believe it or not, Kansas, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of Senate seats set up. It's a big cycle.
Thank you, James Carville. It's an honor, pleasure.
Right. Yep.
Take care. See you soon. Great work at LSU as well for James Carville, and we'll be back with Mary Stein from the library after this timeout.